So good to see so many of us here today. Here indeed, once again, gathered together to remember those who gave their lives in different wars, different conflicts. I guess I'm right in thinking that a large number of us sitting here today had not lived through any real war in this country, war has been not on our borders for decades. Even any serious conflict been reared within the borders of this wonderful country. And for that, first, I thank God, who has kept us safe so we can live in peace. Secondly, I thank God for our skillful leaders, diplomats, who have led us through difficult and critical times. Thirdly, and very specially, we thank God and we remember with gratitude those who give their lives so we may have peace. They gave their today for our today and for our tomorrow. They suffered evil and we enjoy good. Once again, what I read in the beginning from the word, God's word, that greater love has no one than to give his or her life for his friends. This morning, I want to do three things. Memories from wars. Those of us who have lived through the wars, whose families have gone through difficult or conflicting times, they have many memories. Are there any good memories from those evils? Can anything good be there? I will tell, first of all, one story. Not that I went through it or I witnessed it, but I have heard, I have read it. Many of you would know that story. Secondly, I want to tell the purpose why I did tell that story, and purpose will be related to the scripture we heard. And third, that I want to focus, encourage, challenge us to think that what is actually the best memory, or how can we remember them best who gave their lives for us. The story I am going to tell you is a story that which happened during the terrible evil of the war, but something good happened in that war, such huge, big good that it is at time difficult to comprehend. The story is about Father Colby. He was a Roman Catholic priest. During the war, he was put in a Nazi concentration camp for his Christian faith. In the camp, he would share his little rations he received of food with those around him who were hungry. In the camp, he would encourage the other prisoners to forgive those who were persecuting them, thus teaching to overcome evil and evil with good, and to put into practice the teachings of Christ Jesus. One day, a man in Colby's block escaped from the camp. All of the men from that block were brought out into the hot sun and made to stand there all day with no food, no drink. By the end of the days, the news were the escapee hadn't been found. So the Nazi commandant told the prisoners that 10 men would be selected from them and would be put in starvation cell to die in place for the one that had escaped. Among the selected, there was a Polish sergeant, Francis. He begged to be spared because he had a family and was worried they would not be able to survive without him. But the commandant wouldn't agree. As the man was begging for life to no avail, Father Kolbe silently stepped forward and stood before the commandant, who turned to the priest and asked what Kolbe wanted. Father Kolbe pointed to the Polish sergeant and said, "I am a Catholic priest from Poland. I would like to take Francis' place because he has a wife and children to care for." The commandant stood silent in disbelief. He then allowed the surgeon to go back to his place in the ranks, and Father Kolbe took his place in the starvation bunker. Every day the guards came and removed dead bodies from the bunker. However, instead of being greeted with the usual sounds of screaming and cursing, all they heard was Kolbe and the others in the bunker singing hymns and praying. After 2 weeks, only 4 men were left among them, Kolbe one of them. The cell had to be cleared out for the other prisoners. So on, they were taken out, and on August the 14th, 1948, Father Kolbe paid the ultimate price, dying by lethal injection in place of Sergeant Francis. The Polish Sergeant Francis lived another 53 years, dying on the 13th of March, 1995, at the age of 95. He never stopped talking about the sacrifice Father Kolbe gave for him. In fact, he said that as long as there is life breath in his bones, he will always talk about the sacrifice that priest gave for me. Now come the purpose. Why did I tell or relate this story to? The purpose is not at all to romanticize war. I lived through the evil of the war and cannot romanticize it. During my first 20 years of life, I lived through 2 wars and few horrible national conflicts, and can say from experience, wars are horrible. But my reason to tell the story is to point you to the man who, as we read, as we heard, said that, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." That is the Lord Jesus Christ. How could he say such words to people? How could he say that, "Do not let your hearts be troubled? In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, have I told you so?" Jesus was put upon the cross. He was put on the cross not for one sergeant from Poland, but for all humanity. Father Kolbe gave his life for one person. Jesus gave his life for all humanity. He died He was buried, and he knew that he was going to rise again. Hence he can say that, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Some perhaps would say, well, 2,000 plus years ago he died, so what? Father Colby died for the physical needs, or in the physical realm, for one man. Jesus died for all humanity, for their spiritual realm, for their eternity. Not for the 95 or few less years, but for all eternity. How that could be possible? It is simple like this. I have told this story many times, that there are places in Latin America where there are tall grasses and people live among those grasses. Every year the grass is visited by the fire. Fire burns those grasses. And those who live among those grasses, they don't run away. They actually run towards the grass, the fire. They jump into the places where fire has already visited. The Bible says that whatever culturally we have developed the ideas, but the reality is that one day, we, all human beings, we are going to stand before God to give the account of our conduct on this earth. But when we believe and trust in the cross of Jesus, we believe that God's judgment has been already visited on that cross. Those who believe and put their trust in that cross, God's judgment has already been visited. You have nothing to fear. You have only the words of Savior who say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Now I come to the third point. What is the best memory? How we can remember those men and women who gave their life for us? It is, of course, tremendous, and I thank God for all of you that coming faithfully, remembering what sacrifices they gave. But is that enough? You perhaps think it is enough, but forgive me, I think it is not enough. We should do something more. But what that could be, we can do more. When I was a young man, I trained as a soldier. And right from the very beginning of the training, it was hammered into our heads that one day when you will go to war, you will have one dream. And I guess that these soldiers, these men and women who died in those wars, they had a similar dream. A soldier goes to war with this dream, with this hope, that this is going to be the last war. This is going to be the end of all wars. My sacrifice is going to change the world. All those men and women, as a soldier, I believe they have that romanticism that my sacrifice will change the world. There will be no wars. But the reality is, the wars continue. Wars continue. My hope is that if we really want to honor their sacrifices, that we may have that dream, or we may own their dream, that one day, God willing, there will be no wars in this world. I know that when evil is abound, it is easy to fall in a rut and stop believing anything can be changed. In such circumstances, the easy option is to stop dreaming for a better world. But friends, everything begins with a dream. You remember a dream? The great man, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., had. He said, "I have a dream," and his dream was that one day None would be judged by the color of her or his skin, but by the content of person's character. A dream in which the children of former slaves would sit at the same table with the children of former slave owners. You and me, we have witnessed that dream come true in the person of President of United States of America, Obama. If that dream can be fulfilled, why can't this dream be fulfilled that we believe, we pray, we hope that there will be no wars and world will truly be at peace? May God give us the dream. May God give us the courage to have that dream that we want to live. We want our children to live in a world which is without conflict. Have that dream, my friends.